Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This Reformation Sunday, as Tom just said, with the children, I find myself hungry for the reforming spirit of God as much as ever. I don't know about you, but I want God to still be on the move, changing the world. The world needs changing. Reforming. Remaking into its original goodness before so many things went so horribly wrong. We need the reforming spirit of God. Still. Always. I wondered sometimes if it is a product of our time, our culture, or maybe something else, but sometimes it seems sort of far away, the story of the struggle of Martin Luther's early life. If we do feel connected to it, I think maybe we don't really talk about it very much. I'm not sure how many of us are racked by fear that we are too awful, too full of evil, too sinful to ever be able to come close to the God who we so wish to know. I don't know if our struggle is like his, but I know we struggle. Like Jesus' audience in John's gospel, who won't admit that they struggle. Maybe we don't talk about it, but do we struggle? We know what it is like to feel like we are helpless passengers in our own lives, beyond our control. We feel at times the clenching fear that we are about to tumble out of the sky, gasping for breath when the air is too thin around us, too indifferent to let us do anything but plummet through it. Luther found his freedom. Luther found life. Somehow he found a way to stop the free fall. He found what the church calls gospel, right? The good news, it means. It's a very churchy word. The promise of God's loving grace that brought him back to life. Or maybe it made him truly alive for the first time. I don't know if that word gospel stirs anything in your heart, maybe other than the memory of a certain genre of beloved music. But I hope you know the feeling of it, the truth of it, even if the word or the name doesn't move you or feels like a stuffy theological word. I hope you know how it feels.
Sorry, I think the week is catching up to me. But I hope you do. I hope you know how it feels to take the first breath after you break the surface of the water. How it feels to have arms that wrap around you and an embrace that lets the knot in your stomach unwind just a little bit and your shoulders release like Atlas letting the world roll off his back. I hope you know how it feels to look into the eyes of someone and realize in their answering look what it feels like to be really seen. I hope you know what it feels like to come alive. Because if you know that, then you know the gospel. This freedom, this joy, the immensity of God's grace is what we celebrate when we remember Martin Luther and the events of 501 years ago, or that started then. We remember and rejoice and the good news of a God who pulls us out of death and into life through the water of baptism, who enfolds us in safety like a mighty fortress, who truly knows and loves us in the truth of who we really are. And sometimes, in our celebrations of the Reformation, I think that's sort of where we stop. Some days, maybe we stop there because it's just as far as we can go. Because we have only just become free, become able to breathe again, to believe again that we are worth loving and living. Perhaps we need to sit and breathe in our freedom for a moment. Then time passes, and it becomes clear that while we are free and loved, too much of the world is still captive, alone, afraid. Too many are still underwater or tumbling out of the sky or pushed to the edges of the world in the cold fog of invisibility. Like Luther, we realize that the world is starving for the food we have been given. For Luther, this realization that's why everything that happened after his great freeing discovery happened. Because once he wasn't tormented by fear for his own life, he saw how many others were captive to fear and oppression. And he couldn't rest in his own freedom. Otherwise, the story would have stopped there. And he didn't, even to the point of risking his life. This is the other side of the gospel coin. Once we are truly alive, we are able to perceive the suffering of the world around us. We are no longer twisted around our own selves and captivity. And once we see it, we cannot unsee. We cannot then be satisfied. We cannot rest while others are still underwater, unloved, unsafe. I was thinking about this. And about that announcement that we all ignore while we try to sneak in a few more minutes on our phones before airplane mode. In case of a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will fall from the panel above your head. Pull the mask over your nose and mouth and breathe normally. Oxygen is flowing even if the bag does not inflate. Please secure your own mask before helping others. The gospel is the air we breathe. It saves us. It makes us alive when we couldn't otherwise be. And until we can breathe, we can't try to do anything else. Please secure your own mask. But once we can breathe, well, the goal, of course, is that everyone gets to breathe. This is both metaphorical and deathly literal. Once we can breathe, we look around for the ones near us who can't. For Luther, this was true, and he was concerned about the material well-being of God's children as much as their spiritual well-being, and it's true still for us. In these past few days, we have seen that God's beloved children are not safe, not in body or in spirit. And in the light of the attack on the congregations at the Tree of Life Synagogue, perhaps the most deadly attack on Jewish people on American soil. We should also pause on this Reformation Sunday to acknowledge that it took until 1994 for the ELCA to repudiate the anti-Semitism in Luther's late writings. And those writings, in addition even to our sacred texts, have been used by far too many who would seek to harm our Jewish siblings. Brother Luther had beautiful ideas that were better than he himself was. His words have helped free many, but they have also propped up the kind of hatred that led Robert Bowers to murder 11 Jewish people in their house of worship yesterday. So many, too many. Beloved ones have had crosshairs painted over the image of God that they bear. And our thoughts and prayers are not bulletproof. But our love, our reaching out of our own freedom, our own ability to breathe, to help ensure that everyone can live, this is the work that follows the good news. This is perhaps how the spirit of the Reformation continues to beat her wings through the loving action of those freed and made alive again in God. So this Reformation Sunday, may you know the gospel in your own life, which is to say, may you be brought back to life where you are dead. May you be given air to breathe where you are gasping. May you be embraced and safe. And may God give us all hearts to make the whole world an expression of the joy and truth that is this good news, this life, that this is truly for all people. Spirit of Reformation, stay with us. Be in this world. Bring us to life. Urge us to action. We need you so, so much. Still, always. Amen.